Praise be to God. You can open in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19 in your Bible. I know you have a Bible with you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, Helen. What's that? 1 Kings chapter 19. Hallelujah. We're going to take a quick tour through the Bible, and we're going to see tonight the eight basic ways God speaks to humanity. Amen. In every one of these ways, however God speaks to us, as we go through these, I want you to keep in mind, please, anytime God speaks to us, it will always line up with His Word. Amen? God's never going to lead you into sin. Never going to lead us into corruption. Never going to lead us to break the law. Amen? When God guides, His guidance is always in line with Scripture. Amen? Did you get that? Always in line with Scripture. He's never going to tell you to divorce your wife and marry somebody else. Amen? Because the Bible says God hates divorce. Amen? You following me and what I'm trying to get across to you here? When God guides, it's always in line with His Word. Paul said even if an angel of God comes and teaches anything that's out of line with that which I've already taught you, Paul speaking, in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, he said, let him be accursed. Even if an angel appears to you and tells you to do something that's contrary to the precious, holy, written Word of God, that is not God. He will not guide us outside of His Word to do something contrary to His Word. Amen? So you keep that in mind tonight, because God said in Psalm 138, verse 2, He said, I've magnified my word even above all of my name. Amen? So, I think I made that clear. Amen? I've asked you to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. In this service, we're going to take a quick tour de la what? A tour de la Bible. A tour through the Bible. Amen? Kind of like the Tour de France, only we're going through the Scripture tonight. A quick tour through the Bible. We're going to see the eight basic ways God speaks to humanity. What I share with you tonight will not be the final word on the subject of guidance. Amen. It's just going to be a fast-paced review. Amen. Write the Scriptures down if you write nothing else. Get these verses of Scripture. Amen. And keep in mind that as I share these eight ways with you tonight, they are not in order of importance. Amen? They're not in order of importance. They're in order of, what's the word I'm looking for? They're in chronological, scriptural order. That's what I'm trying to say. We're going to start in the Old Testament, move through the New Testament, and we're going to take them in the way that we are so it's easy for you to turn with me. But I am not sharing them with you in order of importance. Somewhere in the middle of the lesson, we're going to come to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, which is one of the ways God guides. It's the number one way He guides, but it's not the first one we're going to hit tonight. These are not in order of importance. They're in scriptural order, so you can follow me only. Amen. The number one way God guides is the what? Well, Barbara knows. The number one way God guides is the what? The inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, Elijah right here, over here in 1 Kings chapter 19, the first one we're going to look at is the still small voice, if you want to write that down. God guides through a still small voice. Elijah was running from Jezebel. You know the story. He had slain 450 prophets of Baal. They were her prophets. And she put word out to Elijah after he slew those 450 prophets of Baal. She said, in essence, she said, God is my witness. By this time tomorrow, I will do to Elijah what he just did to my 450 prophets. He slew them single-handedly, 450 of them. And that old girl said, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to personally kill you. And he took off like a jackrabbit for the mountains. Amen? Running in fear from her. And look what happened when he get up on the mountain in 1 Kings 19:11. He said, the Lord said to him, to Elijah, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains as Elijah stood there, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. God doesn't cause the storms that come into this earth, no matter what insurance companies say. They're not acts of God. the acts of the devil. John chapter 12, John chapter 14, John chapter 16 says that Satan is the prince of this world. Ephesians 2:2 says he's the prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the god of this world. God's not in the wind. God doesn't do damage to the wind. Satan does. After the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. He heard on the inside, a still, small voice. If you'll read the chapter in context later, not tonight. The still, small voice of the Holy Spirit told Elijah to go back down off the mountain and to anoint Hazael as king of Syria, Jehu as king of Israel. And he told Elijah that there were 7,000 more just like him down in the valley serving God. When Elijah had just said to the Lord, I'm the only one serving you. Nobody understands but me. And God told him through a still small voice. He said, get your silly self up and stop your whining and your moaning. I got 7,000 more just like you. You're not the only one left. He was discouraged. And God spoke to him through a still small voice. And he went and told him to go back down in the valley and the two kings to anoint and to appoint. And that he was also going to anoint Elisha in his place or in his stead, because it was coming time for Elijah to go home to heaven. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make to you is this. In the midst of his discouragement and in the midst of his despair, God spoke to him through what the Bible calls a still small voice. God will speak to you through a still small voice. And you don't have to be discouraged. Amen. He'd give you guidance through a still small voice. And when you hear it, you'll know it. When you hear it, you'll know it. And it'll prove out, amen? But it's not the number one way God guides. And when He does speak to you through a still small voice, it'll always be in line with Scripture. And you'll have peace about it. If you have any question about it at all, put it on the back burner and don't move on it, amen? But God still does speak through the still small voice. The second way we're going to look at now is if you'll jump up to Matthew chapter 1 real quick, God speaks through dreams. God does indeed still speak through dreams. But dreams are not the number one way God guides, are they? The number one way God guides is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now here, Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 was getting ready to marry Mary when she came up pregnant. And of course, she explained to him, it's okay, Joseph, I'm still a virgin. The Holy Spirit has visited me, and I'm going to have God's baby. Poor Joseph. Poor Joseph must have been thinking, what's wrong with me? I thought I was a better judge of character than this. Amen? I thought I was a pretty good judge of character. How in the world did I get hooked up with such a spooky storytelling tramp? I mean, he's a human being. Amen? The girl comes and says that she's pregnant and says God did it. He must have been thinking, does she really think I'm as stupid as I look? Amen? Well, you're there in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 20. Look at that with me real quick. We're talking about God guides through dreams. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is indeed of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Let me tell you, when an angel comes to you and gives you guidance from God, you'll believe it. Amen? It happened, as a matter of fact, to Joseph four times in Matthew 1 and in Matthew 2. Four times in a dream, God spoke to Joseph, whether it was through angels or speaking to him directly. Four times it happened to Joseph. Amen? I've had God guide me through dreams supernaturally, through the use of angels, and God just speaking to me directly in a dream. Amen? It can happen to you. Amen. He still speaks through angels today. Amen. But when they come, Paul said in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, they'll always speak in line with Scripture. And dreams are not the number one way God guides. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit is, but God still guides through dreams today. It's a scriptural form of guidance. Angels can come and speak to you in a dream. Talking about angels, that's another way God guides. If you go to Acts chapter 8, told you we're going to go through them quickly. I just put them, give them to you as the Lord put them on my heart to present them to you tonight. Amen. Number 3, God guides through angels. If you'll go to Acts chapter 8, they don't have to come through a dream, but they can come through a dream. They can come in the form of a vision, a trance, an open vision. They can walk in right in this room and appear to you. Amen? Sometimes angels can appear in a room full of people and only one or two people sees the angel. Nobody else in the room sees them. But then other times an angel can appear and everybody present can see the angel. Amen? Through an operation of discerning of spirits. Amen? Well, Philip the evangelist went down to Samaria. He preached the gospel with tremendous signs and wonders following right here in Acts chapter 8. And right in the midst of the revival, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people getting saved and healed and demons cast out. God sent an angel to speak to him, telling him it was time to close down that revival and move over to Gaza. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip. Are you there? Saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. God had an appointment for him there with a man who we know as the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen? Who God wanted to lead to salvation in Christ. And Philip met him on the road to Gaza. Amen? But an angel showed him, close the revival and go. Thousands of people being ministered to, and the angels say, close it down. I want you to minister to one man over here about 40 miles away. Amen? Well, Philip did as he said. God can guide through angels. Amen? There's over 104 occurrences, manifestations or references to angels in the Scripture. Amen? 26 times in the Bible, angels appeared to men and gave them guidance. Amen? Either revelation, warning, or guidance. 26 times in the Bible. 8 times in the book of Acts alone. I myself have had at least 6 angelic visitations in my life. Well, they came and gave me direction, gave me warning, or gave me guidance. Amen? God still uses angels today to give guidance. Jesus came to me on one occasion that I'm thinking of right now with 2 angels in his presence. Another time an angel appeared to me and spoke in a language that I never heard before in my life. And all I can describe it as when he spoke, it was unlike any earthly language. It was like oil. That's the only human word that I can think of to describe what it sounded like, talking oil. Flowing smooth oil. A language I never heard before in my life, and I understood every word he was saying. Well, what do you think of that? I understood every word that he came and spoke to me. I told Barbara about it the next morning. I understood every word that he said to me. It was like oil coming out of his mouth, going into my spirit. God still uses angels today, amen. But when they come, they're not the number one way God guides, by the way. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit is when they come, they will speak, and they will guide, and they will warn, and they will reveal in line with Scripture. I'm going to say it again. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul said, even if an angel of God comes and speaks crosswise or contrary to anything I've spoken to you in the Scripture, even if an angel tries to guide you away from the Word, let him be accursed. Angels of God won't do that. Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light to deceive you. Amen? Make sure any guidance or warning or revelation that's given is in line with Scripture. He's not going to tell you to do something against the precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen? You get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Angels are not the number one way God guides. What's the number one way God guides? The inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Number 4, God can also speak through what some people call an audible voice or an authoritative voice. An audible or an authoritative voice. You're there in Acts chapter 8. Go over there to Acts chapter 9. You see how we're going tonight in order of Scripture here? Just so you can have a quick look at them. Amen. A tour through the Bible concerning the 8 ways God speaks to His people. We're at the halfway point already. This is number 4. Amen. God can speak to you through an audible or an authoritative voice. Here, Saul of Tarsus, whom we now know as the Apostle Paul, was on his way to Damascus to threaten, persecute, and even slaughter more Christians, thinking he was doing God a favor before he got saved. Amen? Here's where he gets saved. Are you there in Acts chapter 9? It's right next door to Acts chapter 8. Pick it up in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. It was a glory manifestation, the very presence of God. And Saul fell to the earth, and he heard a voice, an audible, authoritative voice, saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, Jesus said, when you persecute his family, you persecute him. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He answered his own question, didn't he? Who art thou, Lord? He knew who was the Lord, and he knew he's in trouble. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, he said. You've been doing this against your conscience. I've been trying to tell you through the voice of conscience, stop harming my people. And you've not listened, so now I'm here with my audible, authoritative voice. And Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Amen. The folks who were with him heard the voice. Amen. Hallelujah. God can still speak through an audible, authoritative voice. You know my testimony. You know in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the dream that the Lord gave me of all the people who were falling into the pit of hell because I was following a big paycheck and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And he showed me in that dream people falling into the fire pit of hell. And he told me that he was going to hold me accountable. He said, he quoted Ezekiel 3:18 to me when I came out of that dream, a verse of scripture I had never heard before in my life. I found it months later when I was reading my Bible. He quoted to me Ezekiel 3:18 with his authoritative, audible voice in my hotel room in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it changed my life forever. He told me, when I tell you to warn someone they're going to die, if you refuse to give them a warning so they can live, I will hold you accountable. Your blood, their blood will be on your hands and on your head. And that changed my life forever. Amen? I swore everybody in that hotel could hear that day. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit occurs only inside your human spirit. And you look around, you think everybody in the room heard it, but nobody's reacting. They should be reacting. What's everybody so calm about? Didn't you hear what I just heard? But they didn't. I've had that happen. God speak to me in his audible voice. I look around, see anybody. You'd think you were crazy. But then other times he can speak by his audible, authoritative voice, and everybody in the room, everybody present can hear it, just like Paul with these men who were with him. How about at Jesus' water baptism, the voice that came from heaven? Everybody heard it. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. How about on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the voice came out of heaven? Peter, James, and John heard it right along with Jesus. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Do whatever he says. Amen? Sometimes you just hear it in your spirit, but it seems like it's coming through your ears, but nobody else in the room hears it. And then other times it does come through your ears, and everybody else in the room hears it. But it's not the number one way he guides. What's the number one way God guides? The inner witness of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to that. Amen? We're just doing a quick review. Why? Because that's what the Lord said to do. Amen? Hallelujah. God can guide, and he still does, through the still small voice, through dreams, through angels, through an audible voice or an authoritative voice, whatever you want to call it. And God can also guide through visions. Now, visions happen more consistently in the ministry of the prophet and the apostle than it does in the average believer. Amen? But it can still happen. You can still experience visions as a believer. They just happen more consistently through the office of the prophet and the office of the apostle. But God can guide you through a vision. Even if you're not called as an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, evangelist, a teacher, it can happen. Never discount it. Don't look for it. Look for the inner witness, but never discount it. Amen? And never pray for a vision. Nobody in the Bible who ever received the vision of God was praying, "Oh God, give me a vision." They were busy doing, they were busy going about what God had put in their heart to do in life and ministry or whatever, and then God just saw it was necessary to use a vision to communicate to them, and He did it according to His will. If we pray and ask God for visions, when that's not scriptural to do that, Satan will accommodate us. Amen? He can counterfeit all of these forms of guidance, except for the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, because He doesn't live on the inside anymore. He got the boot when Jesus came in. Jesus isn't going to share a studio apartment with the devil. He's out. Jesus is in. That's why we need to be led first and foremost by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, because the devil can't get in there and counterfeit that form of guidance. Amen? Hallelujah. But God can use visions to guide you. Amen? Saul was blinded, as we just saw in Acts chapter 9. We're going to stay here in Acts chapter 9 for a moment. He was blinded by the heavenly light that came to him that day on the road to Damascus. And he had to be led by the hand to a street called Straight, where he found lodging. He was blinded temporarily, 3 days as a matter of fact, amen. And as he sat there blind for 3 days, he had nothing to eat, nothing to drink. He was just sitting there praying and believing God for the mess he was in. He knew, "I am in trouble." Mr. Big Shot going around persecuting all these Christians in the name of God. Persecuting those who are in the way. And now I'm the one who's sitting here. Amen? Wondering what's going to happen to me next. Amen? And while he was sitting there praying, not knowing what's going on in his life, at the very same time he's sitting in that room, God gave a man named Ananias a vision, explaining to him where Saul was and what had happened to him. Let's pick it up in verse 10. I want you to know, look at it says right there, there was a certain what? Doesn't say he was an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, a teacher. He was a disciple, just like you guys. Amen? At Damascus, his name was Ananias, and to him the Lord said, in a vision, the Lord appeared to Ananias in a vision. And he said, "Ananias." And Ananias said, "I'm right here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias, you Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." This all occurred in a vision to a disciple of Jesus. Not an apostle, not a prophet, not a pastor, not an evangelist, not even a teacher. He's just a nominal believer. Amen? Nothing wrong with being a general believer. I'm just kind of differentiating between the ministry offices and the regular body of Christ for teaching purposes. Amen? Ministry offices are no better than people who are not called to ministry offices. Amen? So here, Ananias has a vision about where Saul was. And at the same time, Saul's having a vision that Ananias was coming to heal him. Talk about confirmation. Amen? Hallelujah. Both visions were being given of God. God can give you a vision too. In the same way He can speak to you by the still small voice, by the authoritative voice, same way He can give you a dream, same way He can send an angel to you, He can speak to you through a vision. Never discount it as being possible. Amen? Matter of fact, from Genesis to Revelation, no less than 521 human beings experienced visions of God. 21 individuals throughout the Scripture, plus the 500 that Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus appeared to. Remember Paul said, Jesus appeared to 500 people at one time. That was an open vision. And then there are 21, at least 21 men and two or three women in Scripture that the Lord appeared to through a vision. It can happen to you still today. It's a New Testament form of guidance, but it's not the number one way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's wonderful. But it's not the number one way, is it? What's the number one way God guides? The inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to keep that in mind. And even if you do have a vision, such as Ralph had last night, it'll always be in line with the precious, holy, written Word of God. He's never going to appear to you Have an angel appear to you or even appear to you himself and tell you to do something that's not biblical. Amen? Glory be to God. You with me tonight? Just stay busy doing what God told you to do. Don't pray for a vision. Satan will accommodate you. It's not biblical to pray for a vision. Amen? And now we move on to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, number 6. You getting anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. These are not in order of importance. They're in chronological, scriptural order from the Bible, so that you can just turn with me one after another in order and just follow me more readily. Amen? Hallelujah. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit is the number one way God guides New Testament believers. Miss it here, and you'll miss it everywhere. I said miss it here, and you'll miss it everywhere. People who are insistent upon receiving guidance only through dreams, only through visions, only through voices, and only through angels end up goofy every time. Did you hear what I said? People who insist upon spectacular forms of guidance only, dreams and visions and voices and angels appearing to them, end up goofy every time. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit is just as supernatural as any of these other spectacular, more spectacular forms of guidance. The inner witness is absolutely supernatural. Go to Acts chapter 17, amen? Insisting upon spectacular forms of guidance will cause you to miss the supernatural inner witness of the Holy Spirit. You staying with me, okay? This is number, what did I say, number 6 or 7? It's number 6. Look what Paul said right here in Acts 17. Say amen when you're there. Amen. Say oh my if you need some time. Just a couple of verses here right next door to one another. And verse 16 we'll go with. Now while Paul waited for them, Silas and Timothy, if you were to read it in context, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred, if you'll circle that word. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city had been wholly given over to idolatry and idol worship. That word stirred means provoked. It means to be provoked to do something. He was provoked to do something about the idolatry in that city. Well, what was he provoked to do about it? Preach the gospel. Amen? Preach against it. Preach against it. Amen? Take a biblical stand against the idolatry he was seeing. So he went into the synagogues and he went into the marketplaces preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he didn't receive a dream or a vision. An angel didn't appear to him and a voice didn't speak to him. He was provoked in his spirit when he saw the idolatry, and that provocation of spirit was telling him, preach, preach. Preach. Amen? He was provoked in the Spirit. He had the green light to do something about this. Amen? And God can provoke you and stir you in your spirit when He needs you to do something or about someone. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 18, if you would. Told you we're going to go quickly. Amen? You getting anything out of it? Hallelujah. We're talking now about the number one way God guides, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 18:5, when Silas, are you there? And Timotheus, that's Timothy, were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit. Pressed in the Spirit. That word is compelled. He was compelled in his human spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He was pressed in his spirit. He was compelled to preach to these Corinthians. He didn't need a dream. He didn't need a vision. He didn't need a voice, the still small or the authoritative voice of God. He didn't need an angel to tell him. He was pressed in his human spirit. His born-again human spirit was telling him, giving him the green light, preach to these people, preach to these people. Don't just sit there waiting for a vision, Paul. Preach. Amen. God can compel you, press you in your spirit, stir you and provoke you in your spirit. It's the number one way that He guides. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 19. Hallelujah. There's quite a few of these throughout the New Testament. Look at verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed, if you'd like to circle that word in your Bible, he purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia in Achaia to go to Jerusalem. He purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see or go to Rome. If you'll circle that word purposed, it means to settle and to have peace about. It settled in Paul's spirit. He had peace about going to Jerusalem, and then after that, Rome. It just seemed good. No dream, no vision, no angel, no voice. It just settled down peacefully in his spirit. He purposed in his spirit, I need to go to Jerusalem. He just had that inner knowing, that inner witness. Not only do I need to go to Jerusalem, I'm knowing I need to go to Rome right after that. Amen? You could call it the spirit of knowing. It's the primary way that God speaks to us. The inner witness, the Holy Spirit, bore witness with his spirit. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And after that, Rome, Rome. You see that? No voices, no vision, no dream, no angel. He just purposed in his spirit. It settled. That word means settled. It just settled nicely into his spirit. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, followed by Rome. You get that? It's the number one way God guides. Now, you're not going to turn over there. I'm just going to quote for you. I'm going to read to you Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits. That's what was happening to Paul. The Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8:16, was just very simply, very gently but strongly bearing witness with his spirit. He just knew that he knew that he knew to go to Jerusalem followed by Rome. It's the number one way God guides you today. He'll just put something in you. And the desire to do it and the peace will settle on the inside of you. And you'll just know by the green light, that creamy inner witness, I'm supposed to do this. Amen? It's the number one way he guides. Amen? I'll read to you Colossians 3:15 from the Amplified Bible. Paul writing to the Colossians, he said, let the peace from Christ rule and act as umpire. Please say umpire. What does an umpire do? He lets you know whether you're safe or whether you're out. He said, let that peace that settles down into your spirit, that purpose in your spirit, that pressing in your spirit, the stirring, the provocation of spirit, let it act as an umpire continually in your spirits, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. Paul wondered, do I go to Achaia? Do I go to Lystra? No. I can peace about Jerusalem, followed by Rome. That's what I'm going to do, Lord. Jerusalem, followed by... He let the inner witness of the Holy Spirit act as umpire, telling him, you're out when it comes to Lystra, but you're safe when it comes to Jerusalem and Rome. He had the red light about Lystra and Derby, but he had the green light about Jerusalem, followed by Rome. It's the number one way God guides. Amen? You're not crazy when it's happening to you. It's happening to you all day, every day. Amen? It's the number one way God will lead you out of trouble and into prosperity. By the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Red light, green light. Amen? The world calls it intuition. The world calls it a gut instinct. You just know when you know her. You're supposed to do something. Or you know when you know her, you're not supposed to be doing something. It's the number one way God guides. Amen? The number one way God guides, and it'll always lead you in line with Scripture. Number seven. Hallelujah. The seventh way that God guides, and these are not in order of importance, amen, is prophecy, also known as the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom, as you know, is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God having to do with people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the future. Amen? God can guide you through prophecy. It's not the number one way that he guides, but it is a form of New Testament guidance. Amen? Now, as we saw, Paul was being led to go to Jerusalem, wasn't he? By the leading of the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. But some very uncomfortable things were going to happen to him there. Some pretty nasty, gnarly things were going to happen to him when he got there. Some big-time persecution. Amen? Just because persecutions happening in your life doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. It probably means you're hitting the bullseye, and the devil wants to push you out of that perfect will of God. Paul, it was God's perfect will for him to go to Jerusalem, followed by Rome, and he was going to suffer some tremendous persecution, but he had peace about going. And to keep him from becoming discouraged when the persecution occurred in Jerusalem and again in Rome, God told him ahead of time through Agabus the prophet that these things were going to happen. So that when he got there and they happened, he wouldn't feel like, I must be out of God's will. I must be out of God's will. Nothing's going right. I must be out of God's will. So that Paul wouldn't think that. So he wouldn't think, I must have missed it with the inner witness. He sent Agabus the prophet to confirm to him that you are to go there. And when you go there, some nasty things are going to happen to you, but the Lord will be with you. Look at Acts chapter 21. God didn't want Paul believing that those negative events that would occur meant that he was out of God's will. Here's how it happened. Acts 21, verse 10. You there? As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and he bound Paul's hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, God wasn't telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem through the prophet Agabus. He wasn't giving him guidance. Paul already knew in his own spirit he was to go to Jerusalem, followed by Rome. Agabus was simply being used of God to confirm that he was to go and to encourage him ahead of time that when the persecution occurs, don't think you're out of God's will. Amen? Think back on this prophecy where I told you, Agabus is saying, that this was going to happen, where I told you by the Holy Spirit, this is going to happen to you, but it doesn't mean that you're out of God's will. Amen? Now, prophets are not to guide people in the New Testament. It happens occasionally, but rarely. Prophets, unlike prophets in the Old Testament did guide people because people didn't have the Holy Spirit living within because they hadn't been cleansed by the blood. And where the blood has not cleansed, the Spirit cannot go. So people had to go to a prophet for guidance. But today, when you're cleansed by the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus and baptized with the Holy Spirit, He lives within you now. You don't have to go to a prophet. You've got the Holy Ghost in you to guide you from within. Amen? Believers are to be guided from within, first and foremost. A prophet should only confirm something that's already working on the inside of you. You getting anything out of this at all tonight. Amen? Prophets can occasionally give a word of guidance, but rarely, rarely, rarely. Amen? How do you spell that? R-A-R-E-L-Y? Not R-E-A-L-L-Y. Amen? Prophets rarely guide in the New Testament. The number one way God wants to guide you is through the anointing you have from within. 1 John 2:20 says, You have an anointing within, and you have need of no one to tell you the perfect will of God for your life. You're supposed to know through the red light and the green light, the spirit of knowing. Amen? This will keep you from getting off track. Amen? People who insist on being guided by prophets end up as nutty as the false prophets who offer them guidance. People who insist on being guided by... People line up, they just want that. They want the lazy, irresponsible way. They don't want to take the time to fast and pray and read their Bibles. They want someone to come along and tell me God's will. That's the easy thing to do. But it's flaky. And if you do that, you end up as nutty as the nut that prophesied his will to you. I can say it that way. Don't be a nut. You'll end up in a rut. Follow your gut. I don't want to hear but. Amen? Hallelujah. Finally, number 8, another form of guidance, tongues and interpretation, which is actually prophecy. God can guide you through tongues and interpretation, but it's not. It's not. It is not the number one way God guides. And I know folks love to go to believers' meetings, and that people love to sit there and just hope somebody will just walk, that the preacher will walk over and speak in tongues and interpret it and just give me a big prophetic blessing for my life and tell me what to do and tell me how God is going to just cast me and thrust me forth into a worldwide ministry. But that's not the number one way God guides. The number one way God guides is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. He can speak to you by the still small voice. He can speak to you by His authoritative voice. He can speak to you through a dream. He can speak to you through a vision. He can speak to you through an angel. He can speak to you through prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. But it's not the number one way. Boy, if you get anything out of this tonight, it's what the number one form of guidance is. Amen? It's the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Red light, green light. Red light down in your gut behind your belly button is God saying, stop. Don't proceed any further. The bridge is out ahead. The bridge is out ahead. But the green light down in your belly, that peaceful, creamy, you just know and you know her down in your belly, that gut instinct, that intuition to move ahead with it, that's the Holy Spirit saying, do it. And I'll bless it. Amen? Hallelujah. People who insist on spectacular forms of guidance miss supernatural guidance all the time. It's a tragedy. But God can't speak to you through tongues and interpretation. Amen? You can be praying in tongues in your own prayer time about a situation. And then God give you the interpretation of those tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's the last one I'll have you turn to tonight. What a nice quick tour of guidance through the Bible tonight. Amen? These are all scriptural forms of guidance, and quite frankly, I've experienced all of them many times. But they're not the number one way God guides me day by day, Sunday through Sunday. Amen? I'm guided primarily by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Wherefore let him, in verse 13, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that's you, pray that he may interpret. Now, what a sweet little suggestion by the Apostle Paul. Is that what that is? A sweet little Sunday school suggestion? That's a command of God. Let him who prayeth or speaketh in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. That's a command of God. Amen? You need to ask the Father, give me the interpretation to my tongues, Father, according to your will. You can't interpret tongues at will. Only the Holy Spirit can do that for you. But you are to pray that according to His will, when it is His will, that you will interpret your own tongue. It's a command of God. Some people don't bother with that, interpreting it as if it is a suggestion. It's not. It's a command. Amen? Please say this. Say, Father,
help me
to interpret my tongues in Jesus' strong name. You can be praying about a situation, interpret, you know, in other tongues, and in the interpretation of those tongues come, and you realize, that's the answer to my problem. It's supernatural. It's happened to me time and time again. Amen? He could have somebody else pray in tongues over you and interpret it. He can have one person pray in tongues over you and another person interpret that tongues, confirming something He's already told you to do. Or to speak to you about something that's about to happen in your life. It can happen. It happens all the time. But it's not the number one way He guides. Amen? Be open to it, but don't insist upon it. Amen? So we see there's many ways God guides the New Testament believer. The still small voice, dreams and angels. Is more authoritative, or some folks call it the audible voice. He can lead through visions. There's three types of visions in the Bible: trances, open visions, and spiritual visions. You could experience any of them. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation. But the number one way God guides is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And in this new era that we're living in, this present new wave, you're sitting in the midst of a move of God in the earth. Well, I don't see it. You're in the middle of it. You're going to see it. Amen? We are about to see the greatest outpouring. It's even begun now. It'll get here to Cape Cod. It's here. It's here now. But the fullness of the wave will hit the Cape, just like it's hitting other parts of the world right now. Expect it. Expect it. Know that it's happening now. That's why Barbara and I are here. That's why you're here tonight. Amen? You're about to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to see all of these forms of guidance more and more in the midst of this new era of spirituality that we're living in. Amen? We're going to be seeing all of these forms of guidance, all the gifts of the Spirit in operation more than any of the previous waves before us in this century. Do you believe that? And these forms of guidance are going to be occurring more and more all the time as this present wave of God increases in the earth. Amen? And that means they're going to increase more for you. And that's why the Lord puts it on my heart to teach the things that I do, to prepare you for what you are about to be engulfed by, drenched by, drowned by, in a good way. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28. I'll just read it to you as we close. Amen? It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. What days? Well, from Pentecost to this present era that you live in. From this present era to the tribulation period. From the tribulation period all through the millennial reign of Christ. That's what Joel's talking about. Amen? I'll pour out my Spirit in these last days. From Pentecost to the end of the millennial reign, it's just going to increase, 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 increase. You're in the midst of increase, not decrease. Hallelujah. You better believe it. You're going to see it. Amen? And when it happens, won't you be happy that you said, I'm glad I didn't doubt it, because I'd sure be feeling like a fool right now. Hallelujah. Amen. But stay balanced. Amen. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit is the number one way God guides. If you'd stand up, please. Amen. Followed by all these other more spectacular forms of guidance. Don't be a nut. Follow your gut, or you'll end up in a rut. And don't give me no buts. Amen. The number one way God guides is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And however God guides you, it will always be in line with the Quran. With what? The precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen. The only living book. Amen. It'll always be in line with God's Word. Father, we thank you for these supernatural and spectacular forms of guidance, Father. We're open to them all, God. In the name of Jesus, all of them, Father, all of them. They're all New Testament forms of guidance, God. We don't reject any of them. We receive all of them, Father. But you determine, Father, when it's necessary to guide us in a spectacular way. You decide. We don't decide, Father. We make the decision right here again tonight as a conscious act of our own free will to be guided primarily on a daily basis, God, by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. The pressing, the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God within, the stirring of the Holy Spirit within, Father, in Jesus' name. The settling of the Holy Spirit deep down inside. The red light and the green light, Father, concerning every decision that must be made as we sojourn in this earth. Father, thank you for wisdom now concerning what we've heard here tonight. We bind the voice of deception in Jesus' name. The rulers of the darkness of this present evil world, demonic principalities and powers, you have no part, you have no lot in these matters in our lives. We hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and the voice of a stranger. We will not follow in Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.